I pray that you know that you are a child of God and that you'll be challenged and encouraged by the teaching of his word today to live more for him. If in this morning you find yourself not a child of God, I pray that through the teaching of God's word, you will be drawn to him. I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. If you want to, you can grab those pew Bibles. Yes, I said that the pew Bibles are back. If you grab your pew Bible in front of you, you can turn to page 1134 for your pew Bible. But Matthew chapter 18, we're going to pick up in verse 21 here in just a minute. This morning, we will continue our series as we preach through many of the parables of Jesus. As I look back, I have everything that I've spoken, taught, either in hard copy form or both, hard copy form and online. And I previously taught on this parable on a Sunday night on July the 8th, 2018. Before that, I taught on this parable on a Wednesday night on March 11th, 2015. So it appears to me about every 3 years, God thinks we need a reminder about what is in this parable, because I have prayed and felt that this is what God wants us to talk about. Now, it's always different to me, but forgiveness. Many of us, if not all of us, struggle with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the act of consciously deciding to let go of resentment or vengeance toward another who has harmed you in some way. Now, I told you I study differently. Even though we've talked about this in the past, I always start my studying as if we've never taught about it before. And the way I do is open up God's word and begin to break it down first. And you're going to see that as we talk this morning. But I also go and look at a bunch of other resources. So I just Googled online about forgiveness. And I want to give you a resource. And I know if you're online, Katie's going to give you this link. If you're in this room, you might just need to write this down. And if you need it later, you can reach out to me. But I don't know if you've ever heard of a TED Talk. TED Talks are these talks. It's not a spiritual mind. It's not a scriptural thing, but they're very good conversations most of the time. Well, I bumped into one this week, and I want to give you a name and the title of it, and I want to encourage you. It's 15 minutes and 54 seconds long. I've listened to it 3 times. I let my wife listen to it. I said, I think I'm getting ready to turn this on to the church just to see what you think. And she said, that's really good. And so you may want to get ready to write this down. Could be a good 16-minute reminder. Now, this is, as I've said, this is not a scriptural or a spiritual resource, but I believe that when you look behind this person who is talking, there's got to be a Christian perspective driving it. But just as a resource, write down this name, Sarah Montana, just like the state. Sarah Montana. The name of her TED Talk is called Forgiveness is Worth It. Now, I'm not going to talk about that tonight. This morning, but I watched it and it was very encouraging. It was very challenging and it was a different perspective. And I encourage you, if you choose to go check that out. That's Sarah Montana, Forgiveness is Worth It, and it's on TED Talk, and you can check that out. You know, we all need forgiveness. Scripture teaches that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So forgiveness is not a topic that's limited to our interactions with other people. Forgiveness is a topic that we have to deal with God first and foremost, and I believe it's the primary need. But at the same time, not only do we all need forgiveness, we all need to forgive. Jesus taught about this, and yes, I'm getting to Matthew chapter 18. Just hang on there just a second. But Jesus taught about this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, picking up at verse 23. He said, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. Be reconciled and then come. You know, God is pretty serious about this reconciliation business. He wants us to do all that we can to be obedient to him and to try to make things right. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know, we're not called just to forgive. We're saying because we are forgiven, we should forgive. We all need to forgive. Perhaps you're facing a situation right now where a lack of forgiveness is hurting your relationship with someone, and therefore it's hurting your relationship with God. Jesus wants us to know how to handle that, know more about him, more about our salvation, and the way we are to live through his teaching. So I ask you to take your Bibles and stand with me as we're going to read, picking up in Matthew 18, picking up in verse 21, and we'll read through verse 35 as we study God's word together. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18 begins, "Then Peter came to him," that would be Jesus, "and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and that all they had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and they came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Thank you. You may be seated. Keep your scripture open. We're going to walk back through this. We're going to touch it again as we see what God has for us. Now, first of all, we start in verse 21, and Peter is asking a question. Now, I'd like to give you context just before this parable. In Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20, Jesus had taught the disciples the importance of dealing with needs for restoration and forgiveness within the body of Christ. Jesus is very serious about this, and he created the church discipline process at that time. But church, we need to understand that no church discipline process will be effective if the individuals in that church are not obedient to what God says. We should be very serious about reconciliation and forgiveness as well. I once had a man tell me that he was the most forgiving person in the world. And he was serious. But you could tell by his tone, by his words and actions that he had difficulty with forgiving. I believe this to be an area where we all need to allow God to examine us and to challenge us. I saw this quote, "You are never more like God than when you forgive. And you are never further from God when you do not forgive." So verse 21 sets in context of what's happened before, and Peter has a question. He says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" You know, this is a real question. Peter recognizes that there are going to come times in his relationship with people that there are going to be mistakes made where forgiveness is going to need to be offered. I think we see that that's true in our lives and in this world as well. And Peter, follower of Jesus, comes to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, how often should I do this?" And right before Peter gets this, I bet you Peter stood up and he said, "Now, Jesus is going to be impressed with this." You see, because the scribes and the law taught that you needed to forgive somebody three times. And so it's in that background that Peter, a follower of Christ, comes and says, "Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother?" I'm going to think seven times. And Peter's saying, "Jesus, that's more than twice what the law says that I should do." Jesus turned to Peter and spoke. You know, it's interesting. Peter, in wanting to know what he should do when it related to forgiveness, he did the right thing. He turned to Jesus. He may not have had the right answer, which we're getting ready to talk about in a minute, but he knew where to find the right answer. Can I ask you a question? What's your question today? What do you need God to teach you to do? Because I can tell you that whatever the question is, Jesus is the answer. You can turn to Jesus. And I pray that we will allow not only this scripture to inform how we walk through as it relates to forgiveness, but that we will recognize that Peter was right in turning to Jesus for the answer, because Jesus has the answer to whatever our need and whatever our question is. Jesus responds in verse 22, and he says, I do not say seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, based upon what translation, I'm reading from the New King James, as I always do, but based upon your other translations, and I have them in my office, I lay them out. Some are going to say 70 times seven. Some are going to read like 77. And so we look at this, and Jesus, if we're not careful, we could be thinking that Jesus is saying somewhere between 77 and 490 times you need to forgive somebody. But church, can I point out to you that what Jesus is saying is this is not a number. This is not a tally that you keep on somebody. That these numbers are given so that we will understand that Jesus is teaching you should always forgive. Don't keep count, just forgive. You see, forgiveness is not a question of counting. Forgiveness is a question of the heart. Counting one day leads to stopping forgiving. Have you ever said, I'm going to give them one more chance? See, we're counting. And then we think that once we get to a certain number, we can just be done. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. You see, Jesus intends for us to forgive every single time. Look at it this way. Does Jesus ever turn away anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith? Well, no. We know this, of course not. No matter how great the sin is that's been committed, Jesus is ready to receive and to forgive. Right now, regardless of your life, and it could be 11:33 live on Sunday morning in this room and online, or you could be online and it's Thursday afternoon when you stumbled onto this. I just want to let you know that whatever time it is in your life, regardless of your life, regardless of your choices, your past, and regardless of your current, Jesus is ready to forgive you if you will turn to him in faith and repentance. That's our answer. Be like Jesus. That's what we're told to do. You know, we understand what sanctification is. It's a church word. It's a theological word, but it means to be made more and more and more like Jesus. That's what God is working in our lives as we spend time in the Word, praying, seeking, studying, and let the Spirit of God move and work in our lives. He's seeking to make us more like Jesus. God's mercy is so great that it cannot be measured. Jesus is saying, so you, Peter, don't measure, just forgive. And Jesus continues saying this and laying this with Peter to teach them, and he shares this parable. Verse 23, he says, the king wanted to settle accounts. Now, as I was reading this, it's amazing. I told you we've done this on different venues, never on a Sunday morning. And I saw things new this week that I hadn't seen before, or things that caught my eye differently. Two things caught my eye just about that simple statement. The king wanted to settle accounts. Number one is, there is a time when accounts will be settled. There will be a time when we will stand before God and have to settle accounts. Now, it's my prayer and encouragement to you that you will go ahead and settle accounts with Jesus by accepting him so that you can be forgiven, so that when you stand before God, he's measuring how you lived your life since you knew him on your way into heaven. Scripture also teaches that there will be another judgment for those who don't know Christ, but there will be a time to settle accounts. It's important to understand. The second thing that really stood out to me this week is as the king wanted to settle accounts. You know, the greatest driver of forgiveness is the desire to settle. Catch that word, wanted. When you desire to settle. You know, I was talking to a family, and I even stated it in Dave Heyman's funeral. Do you know, we were talking about how Dave lived his life for the Lord. Do you know that what you want to do is what you will usually get accomplished? Think about what you will do to create what you want. You'll make decisions. You'll make hard choices. You'll make sacrifices to bring about what you want. And so this king in verse 23 wanted to settle accounts. You know, when you are ready to be forgiven, you'll want to settle accounts. And when you are ready to forgive, you will want to settle accounts. And verse 24 goes on to say that the king began to settle accounts. And I'm going, wow, this is going to be a long scripture study week because I can't even get past these words. You know, I've told you that all the words in God's word are important words. We need to take time to study them. So the word wanted stuck out to me. But when I get to verse 24, it says that the king began to settle accounts. Began to. He didn't just want to. He began to. Now, how many of you have ever wanted to do something? Needed to do something, desired to do something, but you couldn't figure out how to begin to do something. There's a big deal when it comes to this, not just about forgiveness, but a spiritual discipline. I pray that today you will be challenged not just to want to seek forgiveness or offer forgiveness, but that you will begin to offer or seek forgiveness. That's an important thing that we need to talk about. There comes a time, church, when you must put your desires into action. That's true for forgiveness, and it's true for every other spiritual discipline I know of, is you have to want to, and then you have to begin to do it. What do you need to begin today? What do you need to move past want and into doing? Are you willing to do what it takes, what's required of you to move from wanting to doing? So scripture says that this king begins to settle accounts, and verse 21 says that this one was brought to him. Now, we don't know his name, so we're just going to refer to him as the one that was brought to him. He was not the only one, but Jesus is singling that in the process of settling accounts, this one was brought before the king. And this one, scripture teaches us, owed 10,000 talents. Now, there's a lot to learn about 10,000 talents. Just let me put it to you this way. The talent was the single largest denomination it's in scripture. Today's terms, it means millions and millions. If you were Herod in that day and you were receiving taxes for Israel and Samaria and Idumea that he was in charge of, he would receive, history says, about 600 talents in a given year. And if you were in charge of Galilee and you were bringing in the taxes, about 300 talents. We need to understand that in a given year, that means he got 900 talents just in tax revenue income. But this servant owed 10,000 talents. Some historians believe that the only way that this man could have incurred this type of debt was based upon having a position within the king's organization and been stealing from the king over and over and over again for many, many years. And of course, the king found this out as he was settling accounts. Let's just put it this way. 10,000 talents is a lifetime's debt. Another Jeff word, unpaybackable. Do you know, I realize when I'm typing stuff into my Word, you know, it'll tell you when you do something wrong. That's not a word. That's not a word. But do you know that if you put quotation marks around it, it'll let you? It's like you saying, I know it's not a word, but I'm going to put quotation marks around it. And the word says, okay, we'll make it a word for now. 10,000 talents owed is an unpaybackable debt. Some of you are going home going, I can't wait to try that. Also, if you capitalize it, it thinks it's a proper term, and it'll let you spell it any way you want to. See, there are ways to get through this world without having to learn all the words and spell everything. Unpaybackable. So this king is about to pass judgment on this unpaybackable debt owed. Verse 26, this one, the one who owes this unpaybackable debt, says, if you'll be patient, I will pay it all. Now, as we've just studied, there's no way. He couldn't pay it back. But his desire to, in that moment, shows his desperation and his need and his want to pay it back. Verse 27, the master, a miracle happened. The master had compassion. The master let him go and forgave the entire debt. It's as if he owed nothing. It had never happened. This man was free, free from guilt, free from the debt, free from fear. He was forgiven for the very first time. Just imagine how this man, who had been probably stealing for many years, having all of this money that he owed, having it hanging over his head, just imagine how he felt. Have you ever had the burden of needing forgiveness hanging over your head? That's something to remember, because you see, when other people need forgiveness, that's how they feel. And so many times, we minimize our feelings of needing forgiveness while we maximize the other people's need. It's interesting that way. It said that the master was full of compassion. We know our failures and how they burden us. They reveal to us what others must feel. So the question I ask is, why? Why would the king do this? You see, the king could have reduced the debt. The king could have put him on a payment plan. The king could have made him a slave, or he could have had him killed. He was within his right in all of the situations, but he forgave the debt. Why? Well, Scripture told us right there he had compassion, love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know, when I came to know Jesus as my Savior, I was not innocent. I needed forgiveness. And he continues through the precious blood of Jesus to wipe out my sin because of his atonement. God is ready to forgive you right now, regardless of what you have done, regardless of what you are doing. Why? Because he loves you. Look at verse 28. But I've always told you to pay attention to all the words. This is a transitional word in verse 28. But that servant, now that is the one who's newly forgiven, the one who is newly guilt-free, the one who has been let go of everything, this newly forgiven servant goes out and finds. You see what that says right there? Went out and found one of his fellow servants. Find means to look for. I've been looking and I found. But it said that he was looking for someone who owed him. Do you know, in order to look for somebody who owes you, you must have a memory that says, I am owed from somebody. You know, we just talked about the reason that the master forgave him was because of love. But he left right then and went to go find somebody who owed him. Now, before we go any further, we need to understand that if we were to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's the love chapter. Do you know what love is? One of the things love is love keeps no record of wrongs. This man had a love problem because he was going out. Now, this is interesting. If this were a new story to us, now, we can't do this, but just imagine for just a second that we've never heard this before, that you are a new person for the very first time opening the Bible and having this story read to you, and you've not yet read beyond the point that we are right now. And I know we can't get there, but just go with me a little bit. It would be easy to fill in the blanks right now and go, oh, okay, so this man was forgiven a lifetime debt. He is now free, so he's going out to find somebody who owes him so that he can forgive them. That's what's getting ready to happen, right? It seems reasonable that that's going to happen. But that servant found the one who owed him 100 denarii, choked him, and said, pay me what you owe. This second servant, the one who owed the 100 denarii, pleaded, said exactly, go back, at least in mine, New King James, said exactly, word for word, what the one who was forgiven said. Have patience and I will pay it all. And you know, the interesting thing about this is while the one with 10,000 talents, he had no chance to pay his back. Being in debt 100 denarii, 100 days' wages, he could have probably paid it back with enough diligence and enough hard work and a little overtime and some meaningful work. He could have done that. But this newly forgiven and freed servant would not forgive, nor would he be patient. And he had the one who owed him 100 denarii placed in prison until the debt was paid. Verse 31, it's an important verse. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, can I just remind you that everything is seen? Everything. Scripture tells us, beware, your sin will find you out. To think that you can exercise something that's not seen is just not accurate. Your life is an open book before God. Isn't it amazing how open your life is around others? I have people come up to me all the time, saw you running today. I saw you here today. I saw you there today. And I'm going, my goodness, I can't go anywhere without people seeing me. Now listen, that's an awareness that we need to have. It's also a reminder that our lives are lived in the open. And so these servants who saw what had happened, they had seen him be forgiven an unpaybackable debt. And they had seen him go and find and grab and choke and threaten and throw in jail one who owed him a small amount. And they don't like it. They don't like what they see happen. They go, this is not right. You know, the world wants us to be right. They expect us, when we claim Jesus as our Savior, to live according to what God's Word teaches. They expect us to be different. And they recognize when we're not, and it bothers them. And I believe they want us to be right. You know, one of the greatest things that we can do, if we will choose to live for God in every way, and understanding that people are going to see, then that life lived rightly before God can be a life that God can use to draw people to him. They're watching. They want us to be right. Those unsaved people in your life that you know of, when you don't live as a saved person, they're going, uh-huh, I see. We recognize that cannot draw them closer to Christ. It matters how you live. It matters. Verse 31 says that they saw what was done. They didn't like it. They were grieved, and they told the king about it. Verse 32 says the master called for the servant, and he said, you wicked servant. Verse 32, he says, I forgave you simply because you asked. Verse 33, should you not have had compassion? Should you not have forgiven? You know what Jesus is teaching right there? He's setting there's an expectation in the life of a Christian. Experiencing forgiveness should begat forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness should cause us to offer forgiveness. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Must. Do you notice that word? Colossians 3:13, if you're making notes on there, but it says you must. You know, I wish that forgiveness was something that the scripture says you should think about doing. You should consider doing. No, scripture says that if you know Christ as your Savior, you must do. Remember, I mentioned in verse 23 how the king wanted to settle accounts. Well, it is obvious to me that this servant did not want to settle accounts. There was no life change, no heart change, no desire to obey. Do you want to settle accounts in your life? It's possible that if you spend some time thinking, you might see some areas where you need to settle accounts. Do you want to, or do you not want to? Now, let me give you a strong scripture warning alert. 34 and 35, Matthew 18, 34 and 35. The debt was reinstated. The servant was tortured until paid forever. Since we said this is unpaybackable, this servant is going to be separated from his master, going to be in debt forever. And look at verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if you do not forgive from your heart, if you do not want to settle. That's challenging, church. You will face the discipline of God. Your lack of forgiveness hurts you. And your lack of forgiveness separates you from God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said it the same thing another way. He said, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I want to be really clear here to make sure that we really get this. God will not remove your salvation from you. Your actions of not forgiving will not cause God to take your salvation from you. Your actions of not forgiving will be the fruit that shows that you never knew Jesus as Savior to begin with. You see, Scripture teaches that when we come to know Christ, we have a new heart, a new desire. All things are past. All things are new. That when we come to know Christ and experience that lifetime forgiveness, that we will want to be forgiven and show forgiveness. You see, you are never more like God than when you forgive. And you are never further from God than when you do not forgive. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions as I close. Have you received the forgiveness of God through His Son, Jesus Christ? That is a life-changing moment. That's an eternity-changing moment. Second question, have you ever failed someone? How would you want them to treat you when you have failed? And number three, lastly, do you have any broken relationships currently that need forgiveness? You see, Jesus is teaching that if you're my child, you have experienced forgiveness, and therefore you should want to give forgiveness, to share forgiveness, want to. You guys see the difference in have to and want to, right? It's a heart change. And so I pray that today's Scripture challenges us to want to forgive. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to pray, and we come to a time of invitation now, a time where you could take what the truth of God's Word, the working of the Holy Spirit has done in your life, and you decide, what am I going to do about what I've just been challenged with? Now, if you're online, Facebook, YouTube, 800 number, there's an email address that's popping up, response@fbcfamily.com. You can use it in here if you're live as well. But if I can walk with you, if I can encourage you, just send me an email. It comes straight to me and I'll get it. There's also a phone number on there. If you call and leave a message, that message will make its way to me. Because we want to be able to respond to God once He moves and works in our heart. And if you're in this room, God's Word is truth. Truth is sometimes hard. And God has called us that if we know Him, we will want to live as He wants us to, and that is to forgive without counting. Just forgive. And perhaps right where you are, God is challenging you to go from not wanting to wanting. Maybe God is challenging you to go from wanting to doing. I pray that you might deal with God right where you are. Or if you want to come pray about it at the altar, this altar is open. I will be right here with you, for you as well. But I pray today that you will not just allow the Word of God to enter into your life, make good points, and then you do nothing with it. Pray that you'll allow God to be honored and glorified in your life today.